Happy Wednesday and welcome to another episode of Speedrun, the show where we bring you the video game news of the day in 10 minutes or less. Today is July 7th, 2021. I'm your host, Steven Weber, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about the new OLED Switch that was finally announced, PlayStation's upcoming State of Play, the new games coming to Game Pass this month, and the new RoboCop game that's on the way. So let's get right into it. Our first news story of the day is that Nintendo has finally announced the new Nintendo Switch model coming this year. This comes from Tom Warren at The Verge. Nintendo is announcing a new Switch model today with a larger 7-inch 720p OLED display. While rumors have suggested that this new Switch would ship with a new Nvidia chip inside, this new OLED model is mostly just a screen upgrade. Nintendo lists the Switch OLED model as only supporting 1080p via TV mode, and rumors have suggested 4K support, thanks to a rumored Nvidia chip upgrade. The Nintendo Switch OLED model will go on sale for $350 starting on October 8th. Other than the new screen, this revised model includes an adjustable stand for tabletop play, 64 gigabytes of built-in storage up from 32, a new dock with a wired Ethernet port built in, and improved audio for handheld or tabletop play. Nintendo only mentions up to 1080p via HDMI and TV mode for the TV dock, so the rumored 4K mode isn't part of this OLED Switch. Nintendo has confirmed to The Verge that there are no major internal changes to the CPU or memory. Quote, Nintendo Switch OLED model does not have a new CPU or more RAM from previous Nintendo Switch models, says a Nintendo spokesperson. Elsewhere, there's little else changed over the original device. Nintendo says battery life on this new OLED Switch will be up to 9 hours, the same amount as the current Switch. This OLED Switch is slightly longer than the original and also a bit heavier at 0.71 pounds versus the 0.66 pounds weight of the original Switch. Original Joy-Cons will all work with this new Switch, and all existing games will run on the OLED model as well. Nintendo is also offering both black and white units when the Switch OLED model ships later this year. The new dock will also work with both the Nintendo Switch and this newer model. This updated Switch has been rumored heavily in recent months, and Nintendo has chosen to reveal it well after the company's E3 show that focused exclusively on new Switch games. Reports have suggested this new Switch would appear before E3 began last month, which we covered on the show. The new Switch arrives nearly 2 years after Nintendo's Switch Lite, a smaller and cheaper version of the Switch that you can't hook up to a TV. The Switch Lite debuted at $199 in September of 2019. And with that, Nintendo is keeping with that 2-year cycle of upgrading their handheld hardware. They've been doing this for such a long time, and whether it's a more expensive version or a less expensive version, there always seems to be some sort of new unit that you can go out and purchase if you want to. This one doesn't really do much for people who are playing on their TV. Of course, it builds in the LAN port that should have been there from the beginning. A lot of people have adapters for that if they want it. But it doesn't add any sort of power if you are mainly a docked user. If you're handheld, you're of course going to get that better screen and the better audio, but it doesn't incorporate Bluetooth either, which people have been really wanting for a long time. And generally there was disappointment because a lot of the rumors had said that we would get some sort of chip upgrade, some sort of 4K upgrade, even if it didn't necessarily create new exclusives for this, that it would at least put out a better resolution. And you know, that goes both ways. Of course, you're not getting those upgrades, but on the flip side, anyone that currently owns a Switch or a Switch Lite doesn't need to worry about Breath of the Wild 2 running significantly worse on their hardware because it wasn't optimized as well. That's always a nice thing just to make sure that you have longevity on your hardware. But for people that their main console is the Switch, I'm sure they would have liked a Pro version or whatever it would have been called. Maybe we'll see that in another year or two when Nintendo comes around to upgrade the Switch yet again. Our second news story today is that PlayStation has announced a State of Play coming tomorrow. This comes from Sharif Saeed at VG247. Sony has detailed the next State of Play presentation. Taking place this Thursday, July 8th, the showcase will primarily focus on Arkane's Deathloop with a 9-minute gameplay demo. The 30-minute livestream kicks off at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, and will also feature news from some indie games as well as other third-party titles. Don't expect first-party content here, however, as Sony said it won't feature God of War or Horizon Forbidden West. You also shouldn't expect any hardware talk, as PlayStation's next-gen VR headset will not make an appearance either. Interestingly, Sony did not specifically mention the recently announced Ghost of Tsushima expansion, which we've yet to see in action. It did, however, say that more first-party news will arrive over the course of the summer. It's possible the platform holder is saving those up for a more first-party-focused State of Play in a few weeks. And I sure hope that's the case. If we got an annual, just one really big State of Play that kind of tentpoles all these other smaller deep dives, I think that'd be fantastic. Like the PS5 reveal they had late summer last year that really showed off a lot of their first-party titles, big surprises, big announcements, release dates, all of that stuff. I would love for that to make a return and become a regular thing for Sony. But as for the State of Play that's coming tomorrow, I think we've seen enough of Deathloop at this point. I just wanted to come out and to play it. However, I am excited to see more of that game and see what indie surprises are in store. They've set expectations well, as they have in the past, so definitely going to be exciting to check that one out tomorrow. Our third news story of the day is that we have the official list of new arrivals on Game Pass this month. Starting off on July 8th, you'll get Dragon Quest Builders 2, Tropico 6, and UFC 4. On July 15th, you'll get Bloodroots, Farming Simulator 19, and The Medium. So those are all great additions, a pretty solid month. Bloodroots is a game that I platinum trophied over on PlayStation last year, and it was a fantastic indie title. Tropico 6 is really popular, as is Dragon Quest Builders 2. And of course, Farming Simulator 19, you can't go wrong there. Our fourth news story of the day is that a new RoboCop game has been announced. This comes from Michael McWhorter at Polygon. A new RoboCop video game is in development and slated for release in 2023. Publisher Nacon announced Tuesday during a live stream called Nacon Connect. Titled RoboCop Rogue City, the first-person shooter will put players in the total body prosthesis of Alex Murphy, aka RoboCop, on a mission to protect Detroit. Beyond that, Nacon and developer Taeon didn't reveal much about RoboCop Rogue City other than it's destined for PC and unspecified consoles in a couple years. Rogue City will feature an original story in the franchise's universe, Nacon said in a news release. The publisher and developer are working with Studio MGM to develop an authentic RoboCop game experience that is faithful to the franchise's DNA, Nacon said. Taeon certainly has experience bringing 80s action heroes to video games. The Polish studio is perhaps best known for its work on Terminator Resistance, the 2019 shooter based on the Terminator franchise that wasn't the worst thing ever, and Rambo the Video Game, a 2014 rail shooter that was, frankly, pretty awful. A teaser trailer for RoboCop Rogue City hints at something similarly low budget and perhaps a bit janky, but still shows promise. RoboCop's had a rough go of it in the video game space. Outside of the movie-to-arcade adaptation created by Data East in 1988, Murphy's mostly starred in mediocre console games and free-to-play mobile fare, and one Mortal Kombat game over the past few decades. Here's hoping that Nacon, formerly known as Big Ben Interactive, and Taeon will turn things around for old Robo in his next adventure. I will say, Terminator Resistance looked slightly better than the Rambo game from 2014, so maybe they continue to improve with each title, but nonetheless, it still kind of looks a little weird, a little low budget. I'm not really sure who's playing these games or why they put them out. I suppose just for the casual player who sees the IP and wants to check it out, they're buying these games, but definitely not very well-regarded studio thus far, and hopefully they can turn it around with this one. So those are all the major news stories around video games for the morning of July 7th, 2021. If you like the show, please shoot us a review on your preferred podcasting platform and follow us on Twitter at GlitchPoint or me personally at NerdGuySteve. This has been Speedrun, a GlitchPoint podcast. I'm Steven Weber. Stay safe, and I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.